For this period, we're looking at some of the distinctives of the Crawley New Life Church. Last week, we looked at the impact of God's Word, the importance of God's Word, the importance of being believers in the Word of God, for standing on the Word of God, standing on the promises of God. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't just contain the Word, it is the Word of God. And everything in it is there for our instruction, for our encouragement, to sometimes to bring us up short so that we get on our knees and say, Lord, you have convicted me by your word. I don't want to move from this place until I've got your forgiveness, until I've got your insight on how I need to change so that I will be more in line with your purposes and in your plans for me. It's a precious word. It's the word of God. And we want to be a church which stands firm on the word of God. We don't want to allow the culture, the world, to change us. We want the word to change us so that we can influence the culture and the world around us. Hallelujah. The second distinctive, which I said we would just speak on this morning, as God may help us, is that this is a Pentecostal church. This is a church where indeed, we must welcome the Holy Spirit amongst us. This is a church where we need to know more of the power, the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit. As we meet together on Sundays, as we meet together in our impact groups, we need the presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need the manifestation of God among us. But so do we Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'm just going to, as God may help me, open up a little bit what it means to that Christ, God himself, has tabernacled among us. And it is for a purpose. Right back in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, while the children of Israel were wandering, they were going around and around. God had proved his faithfulness time and time again. This is what he says in chapter 29 of Exodus. God said he would dwell among the Israelites. God said he would dwell among the Israelites and be their God. Hey? God said he would dwell among the Israelites, he would be their God. And in chapter 25, the Israelites have made a sanctuary for God. And God said, I will dwell among them. God said, I will dwell among them. God came down and tabernacled. Let's just read those two verses from Exodus chapter 29, 45 and 46. He says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I just find this so fascinating. In another place, Moses is saying, hey, I need your presence. Unless I have your presence, unless your presence is with these people, I can't go any further. I want you to dwell among me, among us. Do you know, friends, God desires, God longs to dwell among us. He does. I find this fascinating. This perfect, this holy God, this almighty God, who lives, as it were, in an incomprehensible paradise to us. We cannot begin to understand what paradise, what heaven is like, desires to live amongst his children. This perfect, this holy God that is surrounded by angels singing his praises desires to live and dwell among his children. this perfect, holy, holy, holy God. He never forgot about his enslaved people in Egypt. This God rescued them. He redeemed them from slavery, from bondage, and now desires literally to live in and amongst them. He desires to tabernacle amongst them. And who were these people? Who were these children? Were they so perfect? Were they worthy of his presence? Of course not. They were flawed. They were rebellious. They were stubborn. But they needed him. And God knew it. And he still knows it. And so, Almighty God took great time and detail to explain to Moses how to prepare the tabernacle so that God himself could move in. Hey, do you know any other God that so desires to communicate and dwell with his people? Do you? Thinking back right again to the Old Testament, in Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, the astrologers, the magicians from the time of Daniel struggled with this idea, as their gods, the gods of the people, they fell so far short in their time of need. The gods could not answer. The gods could not deliver. And do you remember what their predicament was? Daniel 2 tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he called for the astrologers, the magicians, the sorcerers to come and tell him what the dream was, and then to explain what the dream meant. They could not. Therefore, they were put to death. Of course they could not. Because verse 11 of chapter 2 of Daniel reveals to us the difference between their gods and the Israelites' God, our God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our God. And so we read in verse 11, what the king asked is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. Friends, they had the wrong God. They had the wrong God. Our God lives among his people. He didn't stop at the tabernacle. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy this morning that God didn't stop and just dwell in the tabernacle and that's it and nowhere else? John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The phrase dwells among us literally means he tabernacled with us. He has tabernacled amongst us. Because the tabernacle was just obviously a prediction, a foretelling of Jesus himself. It was a foreshadowing of the day when God would take on a body and walk amongst his people. What other God has done that? Then, of course, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, had to fulfil his ministry, which is why he became our sin bearer. He had to do his mission. One day, Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples. He was having a discussion with them, and he was just saying what was going to happen to him in the coming days, that he was going to have to complete his mission on earth, but he needed to return to his Father. He needed to return to his Father. And he says, don't worry, you know, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. It's going to be a wonderful place. I can't really go into the detail, the Lord says, but it's going to be like a mansion. so that one day you will be there where I am. But you can't go with me at this moment. But I tell you what, he says, there's going to be something even greater going to happen amongst you. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send to you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Paraclete. And indeed, so that the Holy Spirit comes among you in power, you're going to do, as John says, greater things than I have done. Because the Spirit will be amongst you. The Spirit will be with you. It will not be confined to one person, one place. Wherever I have a people who are in faith, I will be there in power. And of course, when Jesus says you will do greater things, he wasn't speaking about you're going to be doing even greater things than healing the sick, raising the dead, seeing the people saved from their sins, their bondages, their addictions. He said, because I was confined on earth in my ministry for just 3.5-4 years, this is going to be the church which is going to go doing the works of Christ in power and in glory for years until the work on earth is done and the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. Will you turn with me into Luke's Gospel in chapter 24? Luke's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Turn over to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out. The church became energized by the dunamis, the power of God himself. And God has come and tabernacled among his people. God is tabernacling himself, dwelling amongst the children of God, the Christian. He has made his dwelling among them. He's made his dwelling with you, with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 we read, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Well, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Instructing the Corinthians in Corinth to flee from sexual immorality, the Apostle Paul exhorts in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Do you not know? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. For you were bought at a price." Can we have verse 20 up, please? "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Do you get the impact of that? No longer is he dwelling, as it were, in a tabernacle made with hands, made to precise instructions by God himself. He's dwelling in the body which he's created, you. And you are not your own. Your body belongs to God. Your body and your spirits are God's. That's significant, isn't it? God the Father, God Almighty has created our bodies. God the Son, God Almighty, God is redeeming them. And God the Holy Spirit indwells them. That makes our body the very temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't that tell us something significant? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. This body is the shell which you see. I have a spirit. I have a soul. It belongs to God. Therefore, I've got to look after it. I can't abuse it. It's God's. And this is why we've just read, you know, you've got to flee from all things which will pollute, which will corrupt, which will hinder the work of the Spirit, which will quench the work of the Spirit, because I'm living in you. I've tabernacled among you individually and as the body comes together as a group. So Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. It says here, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy, fill you with peace in believing, that you may abound, that you may overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Do you grab that, friends? Are you grabbing what that's saying? This is the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? The Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out just so that we can speak in tongues, so that we can do some of the great works which he wants to do through us and longs to do more through us. It is so that we will have joy in the Holy Ghost, that we will have peace when there's trouble all around us. Because we're believing, our trust is in him. The word of Christ says, "You are my tabernacle. And because I filled you with my Holy Spirit, despite the perplexing situations and circumstances that you might be going through, despite the illness, the sickness, despite the trouble with your children, your family, despite the trouble that is going on in finances, I'm greater than all of these. You can still have peace in believing. You can still have joy in believing. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Christ Almighty indwells you." So you see, the Holy Spirit imparts not only spiritual gifts, but also joy, peace, and hope. That is what kept the Apostle Paul going. When he was being tested and tried, he knew that he was serving the Almighty God and was indwelled by his presence. He was on a mission. And whatever the circumstances were saying, he still knew that he would fulfill what God had called him to do, because he had the power, the empowering, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit within him. He was full of Christ. He was more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, Ephesians 3 verse 16, he says, the word of God says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. He wants to strengthen you this morning with power, with his might through his spirit in the inner man, because Christ has tabernacled among you. I find this is wonderful. Literally, mighty, strengthened by his power, which the Holy Spirit brings to work in the believer. Perhaps, friend, your body may be troubled. It may be going through some challenges. Maybe you're plagued by sicknesses, injuries, allergies, and more. Regardless, the Bible tells you that you are his earthen vessel. You are his earthen vessel that contains a priceless treasure, the Christ of glory. And he's chosen some of the weakest and the most foolish to display this power. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That qualifies me. It is this power, it is this treasure that makes an earthen vessel like you, like me, a temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're grabbing this, because I'm hearing no amens. I don't know if you're grabbing this or if it's going over your head. Do you believe it or do you not? Do you? Are you wanting God to do something even among you this morning? God has a purpose even for your body. It's an earthen vessel to contain Christ, the most valuable treasure there could be. Do you understand this? Do I understand it? I don't think I do completely. It's even beyond me. But Christ, this precious treasure, is living in an earthen vessel like you and me. What is imperfect, so imperfect, he still indwells, that we, you, myself, are a fitting container for Christ. And God has made us in three, his vessel in three parts: spirit, body, and of course soul. And so, friends, I, you, can look at our illnesses. We can look at them just with self-pity, or we can acknowledge that others are far worse off than me and us, and we can rejoice in how blessed we are. And yes, some of us were saying this morning, what a miserable day, what a wet, what a damp, how cold it is. We're blessed, we could be in the Philippines, having everything we possess destroyed right now. We could be in a refugee camp, in Syria, in Turkey, anywhere, with nothing over our heads. We could be in Nigeria, being threatened any moment with a gun. We're blessed! As Christ tabernacled with you, is he who is greater in you than he that is in the world? Please, Holy Spirit, quicken this word to us. Quicken your word to us, because it will change us so much. Ah, you're like me. You want more. You desire more. You realize that you're like a colander, you're like a sieve, you leak.
the flesh, the devil, temptation, sin, unbelief. Do you know what Jesus says? Let me quote from the Bible. Let me quote from John chapter 7. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. You're thirsty, you're in the right place. What did Jesus mean? Well, John explains, he says, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. After that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But the Spirit has been given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know the exhortations in Scripture that you are to walk in the Spirit now. Walk in the Spirit. He's living in you. Obey him, listen to him, read his word, listen to his voice, have an acquaintance with him, have fellowship with him, have an intimate relationship with him, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, so that you won't gratify the sinful nature. This is the will of God for us. Because walking in the Spirit is moment by moment. It is learning to depend upon the Holy Spirit for all of his resources, his abundant resources as a way of life. That's why we started last week with the Word of God, because without the Word, we're bereft. We are bereft. And the Holy Spirit will bring His Word, lead us, His Word, into truth. You see, friends, those who control their own lives never know the extreme joy of knowing God. Those who are in control of their lives never know the extreme joy of knowing and trusting God. Deny yourself and take up your cross, Jesus says. Follow me. We have his Holy Spirit. You see, friends, as we walk in the Spirit, we have the ability to live a life pleasing to God. As we walk in the Spirit, we experience intimacy with God and all that He has for us. Faith, trust in God, trust in His promises, trust in His presence is the only way a Christian can live by the Spirit. You've said it, I believe it. And the essence, dear friends, of the Spirit-filled Christian life is what God does in and through us, not what we do for God. Do you know, this is very important because some people, and it may be part of our background or maybe the tradition that we've been birthed into or whatever, will hanker on very, very much about doing things for God and being out there in ministry. And of course, all of us must be involved in ministry and doing what God calls us. But you've got to be out there, and if you're not doing things for Christ, if you're not doing things for God, you're a failure. You're not fulfilling God's purposes. But first and foremost, God needs to deal with us. He needs to change us. And he wants us to have that relationship and know that the Almighty Christ himself, the power of God, dwells within us, is tabernacled within us. He wants us to have a relationship, to trust him, to believe him, to come to him as a friend, as a father. And then he will use us for his glory. Some people want to run before they're walking. See, to be filled with the Spirit is to be directed and empowered by him. And Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that we experience God's power through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Friends, we know we are of no use for the Lord and for our neighbours without the empowering of the Holy Spirit.
Christianity without the Holy Spirit is just a shell. It may be beautiful to look at, but it's lifeless and it's dead. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can produce the spark that quickens, the flame that kindles. You may feel weak. You may feel defeated. You may feel despairing. So did Zerubbabel the prophet. And that's why it reads, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So is this a superficial church? Are you a superficial person or are you a supernatural? Is this a supernatural church where God longs to tabernacle and dwell among us and display his power? See, a Pentecostal church is where miracles can take place. Miracles themselves do not increase faith, but they reveal the wonderful character of God, and seeing him, we believe. Miracles do not necessarily increase faith in and of themselves, but when miracles produce a deeper revelation of him, our faith soars. Faith is knowing God. Jesus said that it was more expedient for his people to have his infilling than that he should remain with them. This is how important the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to the believer. It is promised to all believers at the end of time. A spirit-filled believer, a spirit-filled church, a spirit-filled pastor. So as we bring this to a conclusion, are we defeating the enemy in our families and homes because Christ is in us, the super conqueror? Are we more than conquerors when it comes to subduing the desires of our bodies and of our minds? Are we masters or are we slaves of the flesh? This is a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe he is giving to us gifts to accomplish his work here on earth. And my prayer, my hope, the leader's prayers, our leader's hopes is that as we develop and in our impact groups, in our connect groups, so the gifts will become more apparent and will be used both within the body to edify the body, to build the body up, but also into our community. Because part of being a Pentecostal believer, part of a Pentecostal church, is that you're telling others the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And using the gifts of the Spirit to bring his power, to bring his glory, to bring his grace, to bring his love to others. We believe he's going to give us gifts to accomplish his work here on earth. We are coming short at the moment, but God loves us to such an extent that he longs to tabernacle amongst us in greater power than he has done so. And we must need more of Jesus. More of Jesus as he wants us. I'm going to conclude. At the beginning of this year, we had the privilege and the blessing of having John Hibbert amongst us. One of the pastors at Mansfield Church in Nottinghamshire. And on one of his recent blogs or articles, he wrote this. And I'm going to read it in full, because this is what I want, and I think it's what you want. He says, "I was brought up in the days of conventions and youth rallies." He says, "I've always loved the presence of the Lord. He baptized me with the Holy Spirit when I was just 11 years old. John says, I've loved him ever since. I've been in some amazing services and felt God move powerfully amongst his people." And he said this when he was here: "Never have I felt or seen anything like that which has taken place in Mansfield Woodhouse since May 2013. The International Church has become the epicenter of a spiritual earthquake which is spreading across the whole community and beyond. The awesome, breathtaking presence of God that fills the sanctuary every time we meet in His house is also in our cell groups, their connect groups, on Thursday evenings. John says, I wake in the night and He is there. I rise early in the morning and He's waiting for me. We assemble in the Lord's house and He comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. We bathe in the eternal purity of the King. He says people begin to weep before the service begins as He so sweetly fills the church and our homes. It is truly awesome. I end the quote there. That stirs me up. This can happen here. Do we really want the Holy Spirit to move? Do we want to be changed more and more into His likeness and into His glory? And to make an impact in our neighbourhoods, our schools, our colleges, our places of work, in our families? I'm leaving with this declaration, friends, with this statement. It is time to leave the land of make-belief. And we are either walking in divine authority or we're not. In Christ, we are either dominating the darkness or the darkness is dominating us. We're either winning the battle or losing it. As we can't fool God Almighty and we can't fool the devil, let's not fool ourselves. It's time to get right with God and for Him to truly tabernacle amongst us. Amen. Amen.